verses 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' My son, the father said, 'You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Let's just pray again. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active and like a sword that pierces our hearts. We pray that you would use it as such tonight and speak to us from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Sometimes I look in the mirror and this is what I think I look like. Hopefully it'll come up. Yes, there it is. That's what I look. I look in the mirror and I think, oh yes, you are looking good today, Auntie. Yes, I am loving it. And then other times I look in the mirror and I see the reality. That is unfortunately this face, if we can see it. Yeah, there it is. That is the reality. And in Luke 15, that is what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus is holding up three stories, actually. We read one of them, the last one. Jesus is holding up three stories as a mirror. And he wants us to look into these stories and see ourselves in them. Where am I in these stories? That's what he wants us to do, and that's what we're going to try and do tonight. So there's two stories. If you've got your Bibles, it'll be great. And there's the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And maybe you've heard them before. If not, it'd be great to look them up tonight. They're pretty similar. And these stories all teach us three things. One, we're all lost from God. We're all lost from God. And then two, God is passionate about finding us. God is passionate about finding you. And then thirdly, when people repent and return to God, God throws a party. Do you see that? Let's have a look right at the end of those stories. If you look at verse 7, I tell you that in the same way there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And then if you look down, verse 10, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So these three things, we're all lost from God. God is passionate about finding us. And when people who repent return, God throws a party. That is how excited God is to find lost people. Now, this last story, though, is a little bit different, I think. Because actually, it's not just like looking in a mirror. It's almost like if you guys have been to the cinema and seen one of those 3D films, you get these kind of new kind of glasses that you have to put on to see the 3D, don't you? And that's what it's like. This last story is like putting on your 3D glasses and looking in the mirror. You can see yourself that clearly in this last story. Well, I think you can. We're going to look, if we can go on a slide, and see. It's not fun. In fact, it's worse than that. It's not fun around here with you, Dad. In fact, that's not what he says. He says something even worse. He says, I wish you were dead. That's what the first son says. If you look down in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one came to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. What is he asking for? Well, he's asking for that kind of money that you would get from someone when they die. And so he's saying, effectively, he's saying to his dad, look, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. And in our culture, it's a bit hard to imagine someone saying, can you imagine someone saying that? It was absolutely shocking in this time. You did not disrespect your parents like that. Wow. I wish you were dead. Now, the father is generous and he's kind. So he gives the son his request. And to do this, maybe today he would have had to call up the bank manager and sell off some of his property in order to get the cash to give it to his son. So he does that, and the father gives it to his son. And then, not long after that, we see the younger son, verse 13, got together all he had and set off for a distant land. Now imagine, the father stood there, probably with tears in his eyes, as he watched his son, one of his only two sons, walk away. The son didn't turn around, he didn't care about his dad, he effectively said he wished he was dead. And he wandered off with all of this money that he was so excited about. And this may all sound a bit shocking and extreme, isn't it? I can't imagine, maybe, I don't know, I can't imagine that many of you guys, hopefully, have said that to your parents. But maybe you've said this, it's not fun around here. Maybe this is the first part of the reflection, because actually the father in this story is supposed to be God. The father is like God. And I don't know whether this reflects your heart. Well, God's okay on Sundays, but not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when I'm at school. No, I don't want to talk about God then. I don't want to think about God then. He's not fun. Or maybe I'll think about God, you know, when I'm a bit older. When I'm a bit older, I'll start thinking about God then properly. I want to have some fun now. Is that where your heart's at tonight? Is that what you're thinking? Can you start seeing this reflection of you in this story? God, he's just got all those rules, hasn't he? Isn't that what God's all about? It's a bunch of rules. And you know what? That's too restrictive. So the son goes off. And he has a lot of fun. He does. He spends all his money. And he gets all the booze that he can buy. He lives this life of luxury. He goes off and has lots of parties. He's got lots of money. His dad was rich. Yeah? And he goes and he has this most amazing time. It is really fun. And then the fun runs out. You can see the next slide. You see, he spent all his money. Verse 14, after he'd spent all his money, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. He called up his friends, and the lion was dead. His friends were gone. And he got so in need that actually he went and did the worst job. This was the worst job you could do. It's a pretty bad job now. But for him as a Jew, it was the worst job. You did not go near pigs. And yet he had to go and feed the pigs. Now, as you can see, I've got a little girl. And every now and again, she does something in her nappy. And I have to clear it out. And it's really not nice. Sometimes it smells awful. Can you imagine cleaning out pigs day after day after day? That would be pretty rotten, wouldn't it? And that is what this son does. And he got so hungry that he started to crave the pig's food. Do you see that verse 16? He longed to fill his stomach with the pods. Now, I don't know if you've got these near Crockham Hill. If you've got those kind of green bins where you put all the kind of scraps and the kind of stuff that goes in a compost, have you got them? Where you put all your kind of food waste. Imagine going to that and opening it up and thinking, oh, yes, some food. Yes, that is how desperate this son is. He's desperate. You see, this is a great picture of actually sin. You see, it promises fun, and it is fun for a while, but it leaves you wanting more and more and more. It never fills you up. The more you have, the more you want. The son is left empty. And he wakes up one day and he thinks, it's not right. I've got an idea. Look, he came to his senses and he thought about who? He thought about his dad. He thought about his father. Look, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? This is verse 17. And here I am, starving to death. I'll set up and go back. He realizes he was wrong. Life actually was pretty good in a lot of ways with my father. I'll go back. I'll admit I was wrong. He realized he was starving. He realized actually that he was a sinner. And he realized that he wasn't a worthy son of his father. So he heads back home. Meanwhile, the father has been desperate to see him. I imagine the father went out every day and looked out along the long roads, just waiting to see his son. Day after day, I imagine he looked out in the distance to see if he could see his son coming back. And finally, there, coming up the long drive, he sees this figure. He's almost unrecognizable because he's been starved. He's not the son who went away. No, and he's probably limping a bit. And imagine the son. Let's go back to the son. Imagine the son. How is he feeling coming back to the father who he said probably some of his last words pretty much is, I wish you were dead. Imagine he had his head down. He wouldn't want to look in his face. And I imagine he went really slowly, step after step. And suddenly, he hears a sound. Someone's running. And then all of a sudden, he's kind of knocked back. Because suddenly, these warm arms are embracing him. You see, look what happens. The father, he could have disowned him, couldn't he? The father, in fact, according to Jewish law, the father could have beaten him or even killed him. But is this what he does? No. That hug is from his father. Suddenly, he feels the warm embrace of his dad. Tears flood out of both of their eyes. He starts his sorry speech. The son says to him, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy. I'm not a worthy son. No longer worthy to be called your son. He's kind of got to the first part of his speech, and then his father butts in. Look, but the father says to his servants, quick. You see, because what the son didn't realize, and the son starts to realize, is he's not a worthy son, and he is a sinner. But you know what? His father's grace is free. He doesn't have to buy it. He says, quick, get a robe, get some shoes. And we see that he's like calls up the bank manager. He says, look, come and get my son another credit card. Put him on their bank account again. You see the ring? It talks about the ring. Quick, get the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. That ring was like the family credit card. It could go and get anything that he wanted again. He was welcome back. He was definitely a son again, not a servant. You see, the father's love was completely free. It's not something that he could have earned or bought. It's exactly like the love that God has for you and for me. It's free. It's free, but it's not free to God. No. God, it costs God the most amount of money because we couldn't buy it. God sent his only son to die for us. That's how much it costs God. But to us, because of that, it's free. And it's not just free, it's also full. The Father's love, his Father's grace is full. He says, look, where was the party organizer? Bring the fattened calf and kill it. This was something they say for weddings. I was at a wedding the other week and we had a barbecue. You could choose from 9 meats, okay? Now this, they had killed a calf, man. This is big, big style meat, you know? Get it on the barbecue. We're going to have an amazing party. Look. He wanted the best for his son. He was celebrating so much because he loved his son that much. Let's not forget, this is a picture of God. What God offers you will fill you up because it's him, it's God. His love is amazing. And he promises us a party. If you've read the Bible right at the end, he promises us an amazing feast and a party. Better than anything you'll ever have on earth. This is God's love. He loves to celebrate as we realize our true reflection, that we are starving, unworthy sons. So, you know, that was the end of a nice story and everyone lived happily ever after. No, there's another son, as you just saw. Hopefully you were watching. Yes, the other son, hearing the music of this amazing party, heads up from the fields towards the family home. He calls one of the servants and asks him what's going on. Your brother is back and we're having a party, is the response. Great, I mean, what? He stands there outside of the party, as ridiculous as a grown-up throwing a strop. But he's not joking around. Things inside the party begin to get a bit embarrassing, really, because people are noticing that the brother is not there. Where's your other brother? Where is he? The dad's starting to get a bit shaky and he wonders. And then he sees that older brother outside of the party. If we can go on. It's not fair. It's not fair. Look, what does he say? If you look down in verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When this son of yours, who squandered his money and your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. He's effectively saying, look, no, this big sinner, this son of yours, he doesn't even want to call him his brother. This son of yours has shown up and you throw a massive party for him. What has he done? Well, he's made himself the judge. He judges himself and his brother and his father. That's what he does. It's like, can you imagine a singer? I'm sure you guys are very tasteful in Cockenham. You don't watch X Factor, do you? Okay, you imagine a singer on X Factor. You have to use your imaginations, okay? It's a show with some judges, yeah? Okay. And imagine a singer on X Factor goes on X Factor and they sing their song. La-di-da-di-da. Oh, that'll be enough for now. And then they go the other side of the judging table and they kind of kick everybody out. And then they sit down and they say, well, yes, my song was amazing. And you, yes, definitely I'm in. And they hit the four buzzers and they're through to the next round. And then they invite everybody else to come up and they judge them too. Can you imagine that? That is what the older son is doing. And I wonder if you can see yourself in that place. You see, the older brother, he's putting himself in the place of the ultimate judge, isn't he? Because the father's like God. He looks on himself in pride and thinks, I've been working all these years. And he condemns others. But we know, don't we, that God is the only one who's got the right to judge everyone. So when we judge is sin, when we put ourselves in the place of God. And this is where the story gets a bit scary for me, because I think I'm like the older brother. I know that I can do this. And not just with horrible people, with perfectly good people. The other week I parked just a bit further up my road instead of outside my house where I usually park. And a day later, there was a note on my car. It said, please could you move your car? You're blocking three people's drives. Now, I certainly wasn't blocking anybody's drive. But do you know what I felt? I thought, oh, how rude are my neighbours? They are shocking. They put this note in my car and won't let me park on my own street. That is shocking. And you know what? Right then, I'd become the judge, hadn't I? I had become the judge of my neighbours. And that is just a light example. I do this over and over and over again. I look around and I judge people. I put myself in the place where only God should be. So I wonder, let's have a look at these mirrors. Let's see if you can see yourself maybe in one of these mirrors. If we can see the next slide. Are you like the rebel son, the first son? It's not fun. It's not fun around here. Maybe your sin sometimes is obvious. It's pretty obvious when you're nasty to people and horrible to people. It's pretty obvious you're more concerned about having a good time than about God. You're more concerned about what you get up to during the week than about Sundays. It's different. There's no kind of link. God doesn't enter school. He just stays in church. Is that you? Or maybe you're like the rule keeper. It's not fair. You ever said that? It's not fair. They cheated. They did this. You're very good at pointing the finger at somebody else. This is what these two sons are like. The first son, his sin is obvious. He uses people, he bought people, and he used the father's money, didn't he? The rule keeper. It's not fair, his sin. Well, most of my sin happens up here. Most people can't see it, but God can. He judges other people. And he used the father too, because he thought he could earn the father's love. That's what he thought he could do. But what's the father like? What is the response of the father? Because I think the character we're supposed to learn most about in this story is the dad. Look at the dad. He goes out, he went out to his younger son, didn't he? He went out around to him and hugged him. And when he's throwing this amazing party because his son that he desperately loves has come back to him, his older son now is outside of the party. So he goes out of the party again. He goes to his older son because he loves him too. And he wants to talk to him too. Son, everything here is yours. The father reminds him what has always been true. Whilst the older son has been trying to earn everything off his own back, the father reminds him that it's free. It's already his. And do you know what? Then he also says this. You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Verse 32. But we had to celebrate because this son of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You see, he's not going to not celebrate because he loves the other son too. And it's the same for us. You see, God says, finally, that grace is fitting. Not because of anything we've done. Not because the younger son was anything special. But because of Jesus. Because his grace was free. So it's fitting that they had a party. And you're invited to that same party. You're invited to a relationship with God that will go on forever. It will fill you up. We can see the last slide. You see, because God's grace is free. God's grace is full. And God's grace is amazingly fitted. You cannot earn God's grace, and you'll never deserve it. God's grace is full. You'll be in a relationship with him. That gets better and better. I promise you that's true. And God's grace is fitting because you'll be welcomed as a son. As part of his family. And if we recall to the beginning, we're all lost from God. That's what we're supposed to see in this story. But God, the Father, is passionate about finding you and finding me. And if we repent and return, God will throw the most amazing party. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that this dad in this story is a picture of who you are. You long that we would come back to you. And I pray for anyone here tonight who does not know you, who is lost, who is far away from you. I pray that they would know that. Father, this story ends in silence. We never hear of the older son's response. I pray for everyone here who can see something of either son in their own hearts, that you would really challenge us tonight and keep challenging us and help us to see your welcome. Thank you that you do welcome us. Thank you that you love us, and help us to really think about the story as we go home from here. In Jesus' name, amen.